And I'll bring the books up after Chris gets done. But we're going to do a little role play in evangelism and just how simple it is to share Jesus without fear. And so we're going to do that afterwards. We may do that again a second time after next week. And then finally, in the fourth week, that'll be on the last Wednesday night of the month, we're going to allow you guys to do the role playing. So whoever would like to be a part of that, and if you could, let me know, because we've got some, William Fay has this thing called Sharing Jesus Without Fear. And it's really simple. It's easy approach. And we're going to use that. And anybody that wants to do that, I would like to go ahead and get the New Testaments in advance so that you can have them, you can look through them, and you can be able to use them whenever, wherever, anytime, anywhere the Lord calls you to share the gospel. So we're going to do that at the end. But I'm going to go ahead and invite Chris up now, and he's going to share with you a little bit tonight. So give Chris a hand, okay?
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Pat. Thank you. Yeah, I like Bob's idea. Good evening. How's everybody doing this nice Wednesday evening? It's a little bit different. I'm normally teaching Friday night life issues, so I'm excited for this opportunity. I do want to thank Pat. He's just been a dear brother to me and a discipler. He just has taken me through life, and we've just done a lot of life together. So he asked me to pray about doing this, and God put it on my heart to do it. And I'm just excited because, you know, we're in a time of life that, you know, people are hungry for the gospel. They really are. We so often think, oh, they're not willing to hear it, but they are. And the more I share the gospel, And I'll say right away that I'm not perfect at it. I struggle with sharing the gospel just like all of us, right? There's plenty of times in my life where I've missed opportunities to share the gospel when I needed it. But the more I do it, the more that I see that it's just such an amazing thing. Even when people don't get saved, I'll say this, just, even when they don't get saved, it's just such an amazing feeling to know that we planted that seed, right? And so it's a good thing. So I'm going to talk about tonight some seven factors we must apply to the gospel equation. Pat talked about last week how there's an equation that we look at, and it needs to be balanced. There's two different sides of that equation. There's, you know, the lost person, and then there's the saved person trying to get them to the right side of the equation, right? And we know the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ is the ones that's going to solve it. And we're going to look at tonight, though, how we can help out that equation. So let me ask you this: Have you ever won anything in life? Have you ever won a board game or a raffle drawing, a sports match? You know, doesn't it feel good to win? I know we got volleyball going on right now, and we've only had 1 week of that. I haven't had a chance to play yet, but eventually I'll get on there because of my work schedule. But somebody had to win. And somebody had to lose. Every match, every game, there's always one winner. But no one likes to lose, right? We can all probably say that. No one really likes to lose. I know I don't. I've kind of had to learn to hold on my competitiveness over the years. But there's always odds in winning something. One person or a team often has the greater odds of winning. And there's many factors that play into how those odds are determined. So if you were trying to win something, wouldn't you want the odds to be in your favor, right? Like everybody goes in trying to win whatever they're doing, hoping the odds are in their favor. So just as their odds in winning that raffle drawing or that sports or a sports team winning, you know, unlike the Chiefs this year, their odds weren't so great, but that's okay. They've had their time. So the same applies to soul winning, which is a wise thing to do. And I tell you what, it's the best kind of winning. Proverbs 11:30 says this: "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." And so when it comes to sharing the gospel, the odds of that lost person getting saved are not 100%. Unfortunately, not every single lost person we talk to is going to get saved. It's not 100%, but the odds of God getting the glory are. It's 100% guarantee that God gets the glory when we share the gospel. Regardless if they get saved or not, and that's your blank on your paper. And if you, by the way, if you have a handout, my wife will come around and, she maybe will hand those off, but we have a handout, for you to fill in a few blanks tonight, if you'd like to follow along, with our PowerPoint. But so that's your blank there, that God's gonna get the glory when we share the gospel. So tonight we're gonna look at how we can increase our odds when we do that, when we share the gospel. You know, just like, I don't know, remember a few years ago, Charlie Sheen, his big thing, he said, winning, right? And that's what we could be doing. We could be winning at sharing the gospel and reaching the lost. So we have seven factors we must apply to the gospel equation. What I think is a prime example with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch out of Acts chapter 8. And so let's read our passage tonight. If you have your Bible, you can follow along. If not, the verses will be up on the screen for you. So Acts chapter 8. And we'll read through the end of the chapter in verse 40. And starting in verse 26 says this, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah, which is the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, and it's in Isaiah 53, verses 6 or 7 and 8. And he says, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way. And when they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. In verse 40, Philip was found at Azotus, and was passing through. He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank you for this time in your word that we can see how important it is to get the gospel where it needs to go on time. Just like Pastor Brian says, it's so important that we do that, Lord. And I just pray tonight that you just open our hearts and help us to see and understand the things that we need to be doing as Christians, Lord, and how we can make it so easy and we can help really solve that gospel equation, Lord, that all the factors are already there, Lord. We just need to apply them to our life. And so, Lord, I'm thankful, just as I look around this room, the people that are regularly sharing the gospel. And I, Lord, I pray for those that have not done so, that you could just prick their heart to do it, Lord. We're surrounded by lost people that need to hear the good news, Lord. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this time. I just give you the honor and glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we got seven factors tonight. Our first factor that we're going to see is when the Spirit says to go, we go. We saw Philip, the Spirit told him, arise and go. And in verse 27, he arose and went. And all throughout the scripture, the Lord is telling people to arise and go. We see it from the very beginning. He says, get up and go. Go do something. It's not quit just sitting around. We cannot reach the world from our couch. We can't share the gospel sitting in our lazy boy chair. It just doesn't happen. It just can't happen that way. And this first factor here may be the one that we get wrong the most. We just simply don't go. I think later on in some of these series, Pat's going to talk about obeying the gospel. And oftentimes we just don't simply, we don't obey it. But we have to, so everything could be in place. All the gospel equations could be solved. And everything could be in place. But if we don't go when the Spirit says to go, the whole equation will fall apart. Everything could be lined up. This person could be ready to be saved. And all it takes is for us just to go and share that gospel to them. And that could be the changing factor of that person's life. Think about it. How many people in our lives, and I can think of countless, like I said, I'm not perfect at this, but I want to be, I want to strive to do better every single day. But how many people in our lives were we supposed to share the gospel with and we didn't do it? Right? I think we could all probably think of a person right now in our mind, just within this year alone probably, we've had someone that we had an opportunity to share the gospel and we just missed it. Because like I said, I'm guilty as well. Countless number of people that I just know I should have shared the gospel with because the Holy Spirit told me to do it and I just didn't do it. I was disobedient. Because we all come up with excuses, right? And this is what they are. They are excuses. Because there's never a reason not to share the gospel. There's a difference between a reason and an excuse. There's never a reason not to share the gospel. And what this requires, though, it requires full obedience. I think Pat mentioned this a little bit last week, that we need to ice our obedience. Have you ever heard that term? Sometimes maybe if you're teaching your kids, obedience is three parts to it. You got to do it immediately, cheerfully, and exactly as the Lord says, or it's not obedience. If we don't do all three of those, then we've disobeyed Him. 1 Peter 4:17 says this, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God?" It begins with us. We gotta start in our hearts, just like Pat talked about. We gotta sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and we gotta be ready and willing to go. So even when we don't see any way that person's gonna get saved, so often we think there's no way. That person is too far gone. They're never going to get saved. Or he's just not going to get it. Look at where the Spirit told Philip to go. He told Philip to go unto Gaza, which is desert. He told him to go to the desert. There's nothing there. It's dry ground. And guess what? The Lord still brought fruit from it. So even when the ground is dry, we need to obey. Because the Lord told Philip to go where there was no fruit to be expected, but it happened anyway. So don't delay, just obey. Share the gospel today. Factor number two that we're going to look at tonight. Factor number two is we must go near and join ourselves unto them. And what I mean by that, we got to make ourselves friendly. In verse 29, it's what he says, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." You know, sometimes we can come off rude when we share the gospel. Like we know more than them. We're better than thou. We don't want to seem like that. You know, I think I was this way when I was a young Christian. And people would tell me, oh, they don't believe in God or whatever. And they would say, I just don't believe in God. And we know that not to be true. The Bible calls them a fool in Psalms that, everybody believes, right? It's just whether they admit it or not. But I remember a time, and I can't remember if it was at Spark in the Park or Burt District, and I think I was with Pat this time, I'm sure, but a guy had said that I was sharing the gospel with him, and he said, "Well, I just don't believe in God." And I said, "Well, that's just dumb." And I remember it ended the conversation. I'm sure you can imagine that conversation ended pretty bad. But I was zealous without knowledge, and I was rude. I came off rude. I didn't mean to be. But we can't be rude. We got to make ourselves friendly. In Proverbs 18:24, it says this, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." So it may not be a friend that we're sharing the gospel with, But if we want them to have that friend that sticks closer than a brother, which is Jesus, we must show ourselves friendly. We can't be rude when we share the gospel. We, like I said, we don't want to seem better than thou, holier than thou, because we are most definitely not. Because we've all were lost at some point. We know how it is. So we must have kind and compassionate and respectful conversations with people. And if we love them, truly love them, if we love people like we're supposed to, then we will. So, and going near to them also applies to those, because I know sometimes you're like, yeah, you got to go near and you got to interact with them and you got to have a conversation with them. And I know sometimes we can be a little timid or a little shy, and maybe you're an introvert, right? And you don't particularly even like to speak to people just in general, but that's fine. Just because that's how your personality is, doesn't mean that you're exempt from sharing the gospel. Because it's not you that actually has to say anything. You just have to trust the Holy Spirit. You know, I think maybe when it comes to the gospel, we're all introverts a little bit, right? But we can't be. We got to be extroverts. And we got to get out there. And we got to speakly bold the truth. The Holy Spirit inside of us is going to do the talking anyway. And we're going to look at that here in a minute. And so like Pat talked about, we're going to do a little demonstration of this. If you're a little timid, a little shy, you're just not sure what to do, what to say, we're going to make that happen. We'll show you that. And I want you to know this, these factors, just so you're aware, that these factors can apply if you're sharing the gospel with your family member that you know really well, or if it's some random person that you just met on the street. Like, they can apply to whoever it is that you're sharing the gospel with. But we got to relate to them. We got to make connections with people. You know, we need to find something that we can relate to. And maybe that's just the fact that you're both sinners and needed of a Savior. So that's factor number two. Factor number three, out of verse 30, we must run thither. And this ties into the first factor, that when the Spirit goes to go, but that if we truly understand how dire the situation is to get the gospel where it needs to go on time, like I said, just like Pastor Brian says, we would go when the Spirit says to go. If we truly just took a moment in our lives to really understand the seriousness of this. And how often have we said, well, I missed my opportunity today to share the gospel. I missed it today. I'll just do it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow may not come for that person. Proverbs 27:1 says this, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It might be that person's last day on earth, and if we don't share that gospel with them and they don't get saved, they may spend eternity separated from God, and we don't want that. So we must understand how serious of a matter this is. It's the most important decision they ever made, will make, because it's the most important decision we ever made. So understanding the urgency of the gospel doesn't mean that you have to rush the conversation. You don't have to like speak real fast and like throw all these verses at them and be like, what do you think about this? You got to get saved. You know, you could take a moment and actually share the verses with them and explain things, help them understand. So don't just spew out all those verses. But what it does mean, understanding that we must run thither, it means that we cannot further the gospel until we realize the gospel is further than us. And what I mean by that is the gospel and God's plan is so much bigger than our own lives. And we get so caught up in our own little microcosm of our own life, our own micro. We look at the small thing, just our little bubble, and we forget to look at the big picture of what God's doing. We must know that God's plan is much bigger than our own lives. So something to note is that we see in Scripture here that the Ethiopian eunuch, when he comes up to him, is he's reading Scripture. How convenient, right? How great would it be if every lost person we would go to, they're already reading the Bible. Tell me what this means. Well, we know that's not going to be the case for everybody, right? They're not going to necessarily just have the Bible open, reading it, ready for you to share the gospel with them. But they might have something spiritual going on in their life. You know, maybe they've already kind of been thinking about God and life and all these things, and especially at a time like this, and we've had a lot of just crazy things happening, and people start to contemplate, you know, what's really going on? You know, like with the thing with Charlie Kirk, I think that really moved the younger generation towards the gospel. But they might be, maybe they've already gone to church, or maybe they've been praying and not really understanding what that means. So they could have already had something going on in their life, that God could have already been doing some work. I tell you, we live in a time when people really do want to hear the gospel. And we see in verse 31, he says, "How can I except some man should guide me?" People will let you guide them in the word. Like I said, especially if God has already been working in their heart. And we also see that people are willing to meet with you again. They want to sometimes keep this going. I understand, like, it's going to be different if you're going out sharing the gospel. Like, for example, when the World Cup comes, that's going to look a little bit different. You're mainly just trying to get the word out to them. You're going to be handing out Bibles. It's going to be a little bit of a, I can't imagine how many people is going to be coming through here, but it's an amazing opportunity to share the gospel with people that are coming right toward us, right? So you might not have a chance to meet with them again, but you can get their contact and maybe reach out to them, right? And in verse 32, we see that people are often open and willing to read Scripture, right? So do that. Take the book, and we're going to look at that example at the end. Take your Bible with you when you share the gospel. Open Scripture with them. Let them read it. Let them see that this is real, that you're not just making this stuff up, because you could just make up any version or any Bible verse that you want, but if you have the Word of God with you, and they could see, oh, no, that's what it actually says, it makes a difference. So that's factor number three. Factor number four, we're moving on here, is found in verses 34 and 35. That it says that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, right? He opened his mouth. So that's our factor number four. We must open our mouth. The gospel requires some action. It requires us to actually say something. So I'm not going to step on any toes here, but this is true though. Sharing the gospel is not inviting people to church. Sharing the gospel is not handing out Bible tracts. Sharing the gospel is not handing out New Testament and John and Romans. Sharing the gospel is not putting a door hanger on our neighbor's house for the next event have coming up. And sharing the gospel is not just living a godly lifestyle. And all those things are great. We should do all of those. But those are not what sharing the gospel is. And when it comes to saying, oh, well, I just live my life for the gospel, I don't have to actually share it with anyone, I've had people tell me that. We were having a conversation and he's, oh, I don't need to actually share the gospel. I just live it. I just live a godly life. But that's not sharing the gospel. People may see a changed life, but that doesn't mean they know why. They can see you act different. They can see you living differently, but they don't know why. They need to hear the gospel. So like I said, those are all great things and we should be doing them. But sharing the gospel requires a real conversation with real people, which means we have to open our mouth. We don't want to be a ventriloquist Christian and let something else do the talking for us. We need to open our mouth. And you know what? If we open our mouth, God will fill it. In Psalms 81:10, it says this, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." It's really an amazing thing. Like, we make this thing so difficult. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it, but God says he's going to speak for us. You know, so we may not have the exact words to say, but we know the exact words we could pray. We could have a little thing like this. In Ephesians 6, 19 through 20, Paul's talking here. And he says, "And for me," he's asking for prayer here actually, "and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So when we can, we should pray. We should pray this prayer before we share the gospel. Something like this: Lord, give me a door of utterance that I may open my mouth wide and I speak boldly of how I ought to speak, so I can make known the mystery of the gospel, because I'm an ambassador of you, of Christ. We can just pray that prayer and ask God to fill our mouths, and He will. And so we see in verse 34 that the eunuch is asking, who's he talking about here, right? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about some prophet? People are willing to ask questions, right? And we need to be ready for those answers. But we also need to make sure that we're listening, right? I know Pat talked about this, that we need to actually listen to what they're saying and not just take over the conversation. Because if it's only us that's talking, that's not a conversation, that's a commentary, right? We need to make sure we have a dialogue. We need to make sure we are engaging in that conversation with them. Factor number 5 is that we must keep the focus on Jesus Christ. Got to keep the focus on Christ. This is crucial because it's so easy that we can either squirrel or rabbit trail, right? We either forget what we're talking about, or we go so deep down a rabbit trail that we lose them, right? We can't do either one of those. We need to make sure that we stay on track and we keep the focus on Christ. And here's something that when you share the gospel with people, there's always somebody that's going to try to get you caught up and talk about the contradictions that are in the Bible. Well, what about this and what about that, and how could it be true? And they're going to throw all these things at you. Got to make sure that you don't get caught up in all that. They'll say, you know, why does God allow all the evil in the world? Okay, you know, got to answer that. And why does God approve of incest, you know, because of Cain's wife, or all these different things? They will throw at you the most crazy things that they've heard, and they don't quite understand what the Bible says, and they'll try to get you caught up. So I'm not saying you should not answer any of those questions. You should. You should be able to work through those, but you should not get in a theological debate with them. That's not what the point is of when you're sharing the gospel. Because then, yeah, that's when you start to get down the rabbit trails. You know, I messed this up one before as well. I'll just tell you the story. I had a guy at work I was sharing the gospel with. The conversation's going great. I'm like, trusting the Lord, like, this guy's going to get saved. I had a feeling, right? We started, end up, somehow, some way, started talking about dinosaurs. We got all, started talking about dinosaurs. And it led one to another, and you're trying to explain all these things of how the Bible was explained, and you're like, okay. Well, you can imagine how that went. It was almost impossible to get back on track, and that guy, he didn't end up getting saved. He was a temp worker, a focused person, so he wasn't there very long. So I didn't have a chance to follow up with him. But the point of that is that we need to keep the focus on Christ and what He's done for us, for them personally. So that also means we don't make it about you. Don't make it about ourselves, right? Sometimes we can start telling the stories of, don't get me wrong, you want to tell your testimony. You want to share what God's done. But you don't want to be telling all the different things about yourself. In 2 Corinthians 4:5, it says this: for if we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Right? I think we need to be a servant of the gospel. Servant of the gospel. Think about this. This is very important. I want you guys all to get this. When it comes to preaching Christ, do not leave out the most important verse. The most crucial part. What we see in verse 37 is that a lot of other versions, here at Heartland, we are a King James church, and there's a reason for that. But if you look in your Bible app, if you have like a blue letter Bible app or anything like that, and you go through and you get to Acts chapter 8, verse 37, you come across and it'll say, see the footnotes. What does that mean? Why is it in a footnote? Why is it not there? And I said, in the ESV, the NIV, the NLT, those are all three that I just looked at. They all take out this verse. They take out verse 37. I want to read this verse. This is how important it is. And Philip said, so the eunuch asked him, what does hinder me from being baptized? What do I need to do to be baptized? And Philip made sure he kept the conversation where it needed to be. And he said, no, it's not about getting baptized. You can get baptized after. Salvation comes first. He says that if Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. You have to believe first. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ first, then you could get baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So if that verse is taken out, the Ethiopian eunuch does not get saved without that verse. And you didn't get saved without that verse. I didn't get saved without that verse. The next time you share the gospel with the lost person, they're not going to get saved if you don't have that verse there. And so we got to make sure we make that a priority, that they know that it's faith in Christ first, then baptism follows as obedience and whatever else may follow for discipleship and all that. But you got to make sure that that part's there. Because we know in Romans 10, 9 and 10, right, it talks about that there needs to be confession with the mouth and belief in thy heart, right? Those are two parts go together. And something that I like what Pastor Ray Stewart out of A Grace and Truth told me while I was writing my dissertation back in HBI. He says, when it comes to sharing the gospel, he tells them this. I can help you confess with your mouth, but I cannot help you believe in your heart. And that's something that really stuck with me. Like, we can give people the words to say. We can tell them, pray this prayer. This is what you need to say. But at the end of the day, they got to have the belief in their heart. We have to have the belief in our heart. They have to have the belief in their heart. We can't help them with that. That's on their own. That's their own personal choice that they have to make. And you know what? If they don't want to believe, it's time to move on. And you don't want to waste your time because there's so many other more people that want to hear the gospel and they need it. Matthew 10:14 says, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. And we have to just trust in the Spirit when that time is. Sometimes the conversation is going to go longer with other people, but we just got to trust the timing of that, of when it's time to move on. All right, factor number six is we must help them with the next steps, right? Philip didn't see this man get saved and just left him on his own. And again, I'm guilty of this. I've led people to Christ, and I've had no follow-up with them, and I don't know if they got plugged into a church. I don't know if they got into the Word of God. I don't know if they did anything. And that's not okay. We shouldn't just leave them hanging. Don't leave them out there on their own. Okay, you got saved. That's great. Go figure it out. That doesn't help them out. We need to make sure that they take the next steps, right? Again, just like Pastor Brian said, we make sure that they're connected and directed on what they need to do. Whether that's they need to get baptized, obviously, yes. They need to get plugged into a local New Testament church. They need to get in the Word of God. All those different things that we need to help them with. And like I said, with the World Cup event coming up, which I think part of this training is a big part of, though, that might be a little bit tricky to get them connected to a local New Testament church, right? Like, we have a lot of churches that are connected with Heartland that you can almost guarantee somewhere close by there's a church that we can get them to. And if not, I mean, there's plenty of other churches that we can help them out with. But we should at least give them a Bible. If we can't get them connected to church, we need to at least give them a Bible or John and Romans so that they can start reading the Word of God and start growing and learning, right? They got to have that. We can't just let them get saved and not have anything to, no guide, nothing to go off of. Because the goal, we know, that is not just to get them saved, and that's extremely important, but the goal is to see them get saved, then get connected so they can be discipled, they can grow in the Word, and they can go out and do the same thing that you did and make more disciples, right? We want to make disciples that make disciples. But again, we gotta evangelize first, right? We can't make any disciples if we're not seeing anyone get saved. Our last factor that we see, factor number 7, in verse 40 is, we must keep on preaching. We see Philip and the eunuch goes down in the water. He gets baptized. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, passing through. He preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. He didn't stop preaching, right? You know the song, don't stop believing. Don't stop preaching either. We got to keep on sharing the gospel. This isn't, it's not just a one and done type of situation. It's not like you're just going out, got a check mark, okay, shared the gospel for today, I'm done. No, we need to keep on doing it. And so even if they don't get saved, we got to remember that they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the truth. We got to move on to the next one. Someone else needs to hear the gospel. You know, I get into cycles where I share the gospel often. I'll go like long periods of time and I'm at work or wherever and I'm doing really well. I'm sharing the gospel, multiple people. And then all of a sudden I go long periods of time where like, I haven't shared the gospel in a while. Like, what am I doing? Like, this was just great. Why did I stop? You know, what am I doing here? I need to get back to that, you know? So I think of this passage when I'm not preaching the gospel. More so, I guess, the Spirit convicts me of this passage when I don't preach the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 9:14-16 says this, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel shall live out of the gospel." So there's sanctifying the Lord God in your heart, right? You got to do that first. You got to practice what you preach, literally. "But I have used none of these things," in verse 15, "neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For if it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void." In verse 16 it says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I don't know if anybody knows Cray. He's got a song. He says, "Lord, kill me if I don't preach the gospel." It's crazy to think about, but what are we doing here? If we're not preaching the gospel, God might as well just take us out. So those are our seven factors that we see that we must apply to the gospel equation. But we know at the end of the day that God is the one that solves it, right? We could put all the factors to it, but God is the one that solves it. But I do believe that these things will increase our odds when it comes to winning souls. And I want to end with this tonight before Pat and I wrap up. And we'll do our little demonstration here in a moment. I want you to think about this. And Pat and I, we had this conversation, and I think the Holy Spirit worked all this out for us. So we know, we see Philip. So the question is it Philip the apostle or Philip the evangelist? Or Philip the deacon, also known as? Well, it has to be Philip the deacon because of in Acts 1, we see that the apostles were still in Jerusalem and the rest were scattered, right? I don't have these verses for the AV. Sorry about that. But in Acts 1, it says in Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen that just got stoned. And at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Okay? So, Philip, the deacon, is ordained as a deacon in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And we see also later on in Acts 14 that the apostles went to see what was going on. Philip has already been doing some preaching. And we see the issue with Simon, the sorcerer, who was trying to pay money to get saved. And there was a whole, you know, ordeal with that. But this is the amazing thing. And this is the cool, amazing thing that it not being Philip the apostle. Because we also see him in Acts 21. In verse 8, where it says, "And the next day that there were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." So he had a family that was known of preaching, right? And so we should be not just ourselves preaching the gospel, we need to bring our families along with that, make sure that they're sharing the gospels as well. But why this is actually a powerful thing for evangelism training is that this little detail, it strengthens the whole story with Philip. Because this Philip here, he was not one of the 12. He was not an eyewitness of the apostle. He was not there with Jesus trained for 3 years. He wasn't Jesus trained, right? He was just an ordinary guy. He was just a servant. Yet, he understood the scriptures. He knew what he had to be doing. He understood the Bible. He trusted the Holy Spirit. He followed it. And he preached Christ. He preached the gospel. And then we see the one man got saved and he took that gospel into Africa. So it fits perfectly with the gospel equation, because we don't need apostolic authority. We only need gospel clarity and spiritual obedience to be willing to simply to go. That's it. It's because it's not about our ability. It's about our availability. And I know you've heard that around here before. So what I'm going to do right now, if you're afraid or you're unsure how to share the gospel, maybe you don't have much experience with this, I'm going to have Pat come up right now. And we're going to take just a few moments and we're going to do a little demonstration. So Pat is going to play the role of a lost man. Okay. And just for clarification, he's not getting born again. He's already saved. You can't, once you're saved, you're always saved. Okay, so. Hey, Pat, hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Nice to meet you, Pat.
Yeah.
I'm just asking a few people, some questions today, you know, and I just didn't know, do you have a few minutes? I can just, ask you a couple questions here. I don't know if you have any time.
Yeah, I got a couple minutes.
Okay, a couple minutes? Okay. Yeah. Just a few simple questions. It's not going to take very long, okay?
All right.
Let me ask you this. Do you have any kind of, like, spiritual beliefs at all?
What do you mean, like God?
God or anything like that. Like, what do you believe in spiritually? Wow. Like, anything at all?
I don't know. I guess I probably believe in more of the evolution thing.
Okay.
Like God maybe, you know, maybe started everything, but I don't believe he really, you know, with everything going on nowadays, it can't seem working in humanity too much, but.
Okay. No, that's fine. I understand. I get it. It's hard to, you know, put all that together. But let me ask this question though. To you, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ to you?
Whoa. I don't know. I guess he was a good man. Maybe he was a prophet.
Okay. That's fine. Hey, that's okay. So what do you think about heaven or hell? Do you believe there's a heaven or hell?
I don't know. I think that here nowadays that we're about as close to hell as we get.
Okay.
And maybe as close to heaven. I don't know. Maybe heaven, but I don't believe in a hell. I believe we live hell on earth.
Okay. Yeah. No. Hey. Well, if you died right now, where would you go?
Oh, I don't know. I'd just go to the grave, I guess.
Go to the grave?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Pat. If what you believe were not true, would you want to know it?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't want to know the truth? I mean, it seems like everybody kind of wants to know the truth.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Pat. It's a long time to wait to be wrong. If you're wrong, but if you don't really want to know, I'm not going to take any more of your time. Are you sure you don't want to know the truth? Or are you good?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for your time, Pat. I appreciate you speaking with me. You know, is there anything I can pray for you about?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Well, Pat, you take care. Okay. Have a blessed day.
All right.
So that was an example of a lost person. Would just don't want to engage, and they, they don't get saved. They don't want to follow through. And this is kind of what I talked about. You got to kind of find that time where you just kind of move on. And, we sometimes we want to try to keep it going and going, and they get to the point where it's just they're done. Okay. So we're just going to continue on. And,
you know, Chris, I guess I got a few minutes, you know.
Oh, okay.
My girlfriend, she's not going to be ready. And so, you know, I got, you know, I just a little impatient there. And what you said about eternity or whatever being a long time to be wrong. Yeah, I can spare a few minutes.
You spare a few minutes? All right. Well, yeah, it's going to be totally worth your time, I promise you, because it's very important information to know. Now, Pat, what I want to do is I want to make sure you see what the Bible has to say, because I want you to understand that I'm not making this up. This is the Word of God. This is what God has said in His Word, okay? So I want to, if you're willing, are you okay if you just read a couple verses?
Yeah.
And I'm going to take you to them.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to take you to a couple verses here. And what do you think this verse here in Romans 3:23 means? Romans 3:23.
Okay. Let's see. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Okay. What does that mean to you, Pat? What do you think that means?
I guess we're all sinners.
We're all sinners. You're spot on, right? Okay. Would you agree with that, that you're a sinner according to God's word, that we mess up, right?
Yeah.
We're all sinners, absolutely. Okay, I want you to read this next verse, and I want you to read Romans 6:23 for me.
Okay. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Okay. Well, what about that verse? What do you think? What does that mean to you?
So, if we keep on sinning, we're going to die. And if we give our life to Jesus Christ, make Him Lord, that we get eternal life.
Yeah. And the cool thing about that, Pat, is it's all a free gift. Like, you don't have to do anything to earn it. Isn't that nothing? It's a free gift.
Wow.
Okay. I got a couple more verses for you.
That sounds too good to be true.
It does, but I promise you it is true. It's too good to be true because it's true. And John, I want you to read John 3:3, okay?
Okay. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
He cannot see the kingdom of God. So, why do you think, why did Jesus come to die?
So we could be born again?
Be born again,
is that what that means?
That's what he's talking about, yeah, so we can be born again. You're okay. Right on. I think you know more than what you was leading on, Pat. I'm going to show you a couple other verses and we'll wrap this up here. John 14:6. Read this verse here.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
And you know, those words in red that you see there, that's Jesus himself speaking. So what does that mean to you? Jesus, he said those words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does that mean to
you? It sounds like he's saying he's the only way that we can get to heaven.
He's the only way. You're absolutely right. 100%. Now, here's a crucial part to this, Pat. In Romans 10:9, I want you to read verses 9 through 11.
Okay. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
There you go. What do you think that means, Pat? Confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart. What do you think?
We have to ask him. We have to ask him to be saved, and we have to believe it.
Where do you got to believe it at, Pat? Where did it say in the Bible? Where at do you got to believe it?
In your heart.
In your heart. That's the most important spot. We can have all the knowledge up here, but we got to believe it in our heart.
What does that mean?
It's making it real. It means that you got to make it real and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you. You got to accept it, and you got to just truly believe it. Wow. I'm going to read a couple more verses for you, or I'm going to have you read a couple verses, Pat, and then 2 Corinthians 5:15. I just want you to see how important it is, Pat, that this is God's word. This isn't anything that I'm saying. 2 Corinthians 5:15.
Okay, and that he died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Again, what do you think about that one, Pat?
That he died for us and he rose again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if we put the last verses you just read, that if you believe that in your heart, then it's, you've accepted that free gift. And I got one more verse for you. I just want you to read real quick, okay? We'll wrap this up, Pat. Revelations 3:20.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me.
What do you think, Pat? What do you think that means?
Sounds like he wants to have a relationship.
Yeah, he absolutely does. Wow. I got a couple questions for you, Pat, just to wrap this up, okay? Based off of what you read, are you a sinner?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. We are. Do you want forgiveness for your sins?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe, based off what the Bible says, that Jesus died on the cross and for you and he rose again? Do you believe that here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. Are you willing right now, Pat, to surrender your life to Jesus Christ?
Yes. Who wouldn't?
Are you ready right now? Do you want to take this moment and invite Jesus into your heart and into your life?
Do you mean like pray?
Yeah, you just have a quick little prayer. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant. You just have a quick little prayer and you invite Jesus, you ask God to forgive your sins, and you just thank him for what he's done for you personally, and that you want a relationship with him, and you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. It doesn't matter how you say it, the most important factor is that you believe in your heart. Sure. Do you want to do that?
Sure.
Okay, well, we're going to have a moment of prayer. Now, I can't save you, Pat. This is your belief. You have to make it real in your life, okay?
Okay.
So you have to pray. I'm just going to be praying silently, and I want you to say the words out loud and just say what we just talked about, okay? Can you do that?
Sure.
Okay, let's pray.
Lord, I just ask you to come into my heart, and I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and save me, Lord, and lead me and guide me into all truth. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, Pat, the words I said doesn't mean a whole lot. Do you right now believe that what you just prayed is real? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and you've accepted him into your heart?
Yes.
And if that's real, you're now a brother in Christ. You're what the Bible calls born again, Pat.
Amen.
And so I'm so excited. Thank you for taking this moment in conversation. Now, get you connected. I want to get you, I want you to invite you to church. We're here at Heartland Baptist Fellowship. We're not too far down the road.
All right.
So here's our information. Okay. Here's my phone number. I'm going to be in contact with you. I want to make sure that I see God has a plan and a purpose for your life, okay? And I want to see you fulfill all of that, okay, Pat?
All right. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. All right.
All right. I think that's our demonstration. And that's going to look different for every situation. But it happens like that more often than you think. And I hope you don't mind calling him out here. Our brother Max, I got to lead him to the Lord a few months ago back at Life Issues. And so to see him here tonight is a blessing to have him. So I'm thankful that he's here. And that's real, that it can happen. I mean, he's proof. Sharing the gospel, we don't have to make it hard. And so I hope that you can all apply this to your life. I'm going to have Pat close us up here in a moment of prayer.
Father, we thank you so much that we have a church like we have today in this day and age where, like we talked about last week, not many are going out and seeing the need. And, Lord, we have such an urgency that you have for us in the Bible to go out and share the gospel. People are dying and looking at a Christless eternity, Lord. And we do not want to be coming to you at the end of our lives and have to answer for that, Lord. So, Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, we just ask that you would move in our midst, that you would stir in our hearts and bring us to the realization that you want to use us. And that, like Chris showed us tonight, we cannot possibly do it on our own. We need you. We need your power, and you promise your power. You promise to give us the words. And we really have no excuses like we learned tonight, Lord. And we ask that you would just come and give us the strength, give us the power, and change us. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.